Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark Elaine Wheeler, and welcome. This is the probably the third show you're going to listen to this week. Not going to be the last. On a recap of the Boondoggle here in Virginia Beach, was a great success. Sunday was a little iffy, but everyone hopefully caught fish or saw fish being caught or just had a great time. Really good trip everyone had, I know that. It was great to see, you know, the generations at the Boondoggle, you know, with Chips, Treehugger, no get to it actually, everyone in the chat room, welcome. We have the Treehugger Thursday night host, Chip Gibson. Excuse me. We have a guest. Remember, guests, you could always call in. Number is 714-816-4727. Or you can log in using your social media account and chat it up in the chat room. We also have Jay Van Pelt. What's going on, man? And the man, the myth, the legend, co-host, along with Mike Ortego. That would be Captain Mike Ortego. And the illustrious Boudreau, Mr. Steve Chapman in the house. Can't thank you enough, bud, for everything you're doing with us. And Matt Trucks, the Yak Chum. Everyone's in the house. All right, cool. All right. Got some videos being posted up. We got some poon pictures. Excellent. Your companies. All right. Cool. All right. Let's get right to it. Things are starting to fill up, so let's get right on. All right. Recap of the Boondoggle. For those that showed up early, they were to get out with the Loziers and callers. Hang on, folks. Got a caller. You know, I don't get callers very often, so I get all excited. All right. Caller, area code 321. You are on the air with Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic.
Yo.
Hello. What's going on, man?
What's going on?
Not much, brother. Everyone, this is the man, the myth, the legend, the beard, Redfish Chuck. Fear the beard.
Fear the beard. The beard's coming off, man. The beard's coming off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm shaving the beard.
Cool, man. So how was your drive home?
It sucked.
Did
it
Louis make it back in one piece?
I did, but it was a very long, extremely long car ride, and it was very uneventful, which is good, but it was also, at the same time, very stressful, which is bad, and
right.
I'm thankful back in the sunshine state.
Cool, man. Good to see everyone got home okay. Good to hear that Louie made it in one piece.
Louie made it in one piece, yep. That was good.
That's awesome. So, you know, I was going to talk about the Boondoggle. Why don't you talk about the Boondoggle? How you, how it was for you? What would you do different? And, I know things are getting ready here for the next one, which we'll talk about in a minute. So, recap for it, man.
The Boondizzle. It was fun. It always is. I don't know, man. We got out. We got in kind of late on Friday and didn't get to fish at all Friday night, so we went out Saturday. In typical Levi Flores fashion, we left the cabin a little bit later than most and got to the water, I think, last, and meandered around for about 2 or 3 hours. We ran into the rest of the crew, or not the rest, but most of the crew, including yourself. And
yep.
Didn't catch nothing up until the point that we met up with everybody else. I had a couple hits, I think, but hard to tell with all the oysters and whatnot on the bottom. And then
right.
Cruised over to a couple different spots and caught a few fish and called it an afternoon after a fun drifting around islandish type. Your stuff there is weird, man. Like here we have actual islands that are like normal islands that don't have like cut throughs and rivers running through them or like creeks running through them. And everything over there was like really kind of open, which was cool, really cool, but just weird. Like I'm not accustomed to fishing anything like that.
Right.
So we ended up calling it a day, went back to the cabin, took a shower, went out to eat, had the raffle, that was cool. Of course we had cake. Cake was awesome. Cake was amazing. And then called it an early night there, went back to the campground, had fun at the bar, a little campfire that Mr. Flores was so kind enough to set for us. And one of the main stories I think that keeps circulating is just Mr. Scuba Stan falling out of a tree with a sombrero on his head, which would be awesome. I don't know what's more impressive, the fact that he fell out of a tree with a sombrero on his head and didn't get hurt, or the fact that he fell out of a tree with a sombrero on his head and got back up with a sombrero still on his head. And
didn't spill his beer.
Didn't spill a beer. So that was pretty cool. And then the next morning we went out, hit the water. Well, no, not necessarily. Next morning we woke up, and overnight a front had pushed through and dropped down in the 50s and rain, and it was miserable. And we were waiting for a weather window to kind of pop open, and it never really happened. So we just said, the hell with it, let's do it. So we went over to an area off of 64th Street. I forget what they call it, the neck or middle or something.
The Narrows.
There it is, the Narrows. And fished that quite a bit. Did pretty good right off the bat. I caught a rat red, and Chris picked up a nice trout. And then just fished around some docks and stuff like that, picked up a few more fish. Holly, or Snake Girls, people know her by, she picked up a little sea bass and a couple croakers. And then I ended up getting another keeper trout. And Miss Jean McElroy caught a redfish and I think a couple of small fish. Chris caught another keeper trout. And so it was good. We had a good time. Things I would do different? I don't know. That's not really for me to say, I guess. I've definitely learned some things from the last couple of boondoggles that I would do differently or that I would try to do differently to make what I'm kind of calling my boondoggle, which is here in my backyard, a great success, if that makes any
sense. Right.
Everybody
yeah.
who's hosted a boondoggle has done a great job with it. And, considering the circumstances and whatever it is that they had to work with. I think that we're now at that level where we're ready to take it to the next level. So we had a pretty good turnout there in Virginia Beach. I think we had about 100 and some odd people, like the low hundreds. So that's cool. I think I saw tonight that we already have like 50 or 60 people who were saying they're going to the next one, and we just announced where it's going to be this past weekend, so that's pretty epic.
Yeah, this is going to be huge.
Yeah, and it was funny because I got off the phone with the host campground, Cars Park, a little while earlier, and they were asking, you know, what's your ballpark on how many people you think are going to be here, and I was like, well, I don't really have a ballpark, but if you want me to give you one, I'd say anywhere between 175 and 250 people, I think would be a safe estimate. So it should be crazy, man. This next one will be awesome. So hopefully everybody listening up there in the Mid-Atlantic area will make that crazy drive down here and put us in our neck of the woods because, hell, you guys will be freezing by then, so you might as well come down here. So it'll be awesome.
Exactly. Cool, man. All right, we got another caller. Hang on, just a little thingamajigger. Aaron Coon, 727, you are live on Kayak Fishing Radio, Mid-Atlantic.
Yo, how's it going, man?
What's going on, Robbie?
Nothing. Just recovering from the boondoggle, man.
Yeah, that's a 12-step process on boondoggle recovery.
No, it's just it was a long drive and all that stuff. So luckily for
right.
me, I don't have to go back to work until tomorrow. So
nice.
But yeah, man, had a good time. I really like the campsite out there, man. That First Landing State Park is a nice, that's a nice park. Facilities are very nice, and I thought it was cool.
Yeah, definitely some awesome stuff there. It's definitely a cool little place. Sorry about my daughter.
Oh, that's okay.
How was your drive back home, man?
Oh, it rained, like, all the way to Georgia. Yeah.
Oh, good thing you left when you did.
Yeah, totally.
So how'd you do? Did you catch any fish?
No, I'm 0-for-3 up there, man. So, but I wasn't really fishing, so I wasn't fishing, you know, really hard or anything like that. I was more, you know, jabbering and stuff like that. So hopefully
right.
it's time. But that's all right, man. I got to hang out with a lot of people, old friends, made some new ones, and it was a good time.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, I know people are chomping at the bit, so let's get right to it. Steve, unfortunately, dropped out of the chat room. But as you know, Steve Chapman and Fish and Florida Radio are partners with us, I guess is the best way to put it. So they did the last boondoggle soundbite, and they just did a new one for us. If you haven't heard it, hang on, folks. This is some great stuff. Here we go.
Boondoggle! Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers, too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
That is right. February 15th to the 18th is the next boondoggle at Merritt Island on the Banana River in the No Motor Zone. There will be, you know, organs and when you get near the place, it'll be awesome. Cannot wait. It's going to be a whole bunch of fun. I cannot wait. So, Chuck, what can we expect in this next boondoggle?
Say what?
What can we expect to catch or see at the next illustrious boondoggle?
Well, hopefully, if all goes well and we have a mild winter, we should have a really good trout bite for sure, spec bite as you guys call them. With your average fish being over what your slots, what your size limit fish are, I mean your average fish will be 15, 16 inches, 17 inches. But you'll catch, you should have plenty of opportunities to fish well over 20 inches.
Right.
And then, of course, the big giant redfish that everybody loves helping their cat. Those will be schooling around and doing their thing. Big giant black drum, that's always a good possibility for catching some big black drums, some, you know, 40, 50 pounders or even a little lighter than that. You'll find plenty of spot sized redfish to be had for those that like to travel, like to paddle a ways. You can go on a paddle adventure if you wish to just search for tailing fish first thing in the morning.
Right.
The flat that we'll be fishing basically runs the entire outer rim of the No Motor Zone. So it's one gigantic grass flat basically is what it is. In the center.
What's that? Go ahead.
Oh, in the center, you have a series of little shoals and sandbars, and you've got some islands all the way up towards the north end of the no motor zone. But other than that, everything is pretty much just like fishing a typical Florida flat where we're in, you know, a foot and a half, 2 foot of water. Out to about 4 feet is about as deep as I think most of us will be fishing. Dead bait's key for this big giant fish. You can get some every now and again on stink bait. But for the most part, just dead bait's the best way to go. Your slot fish
right.
and your 30-some-odd inchers will take artificials readily. That time of year, they should still be on the crustacean-based diet where they're mainly looking for shrimp, crabs, and that kind of thing. So you should be able to see a lot more tailwind fish than you would in, say, October. If we were to go there in a different time for boondoggle, like when we just left. And as far as other things to do, see, whatever, your backdrop is Kennedy Space Center. So you'll be able to see some, you'll be able to see the VAV building pretty well from where we're going to be at. You'll be able to see some of the rocket launch towers. You should be able to see a few of the old space shuttle launch towers still. You'll also have a backdrop of the port, so during the daytime you'll have cruise ships and stuff right over your shoulder. And then, just true wild Florida. I mean, that area up there is protected. It's been protected for a little while now. And, since it has been protected, it's become quite the refuge for all things that are Florida as far as creatures. So there's huge herds of manatees that call that area up their home. There's gators. Every now and again you see some sharks cruising around. Other species of fish might encounter while we're there, depending upon the weather, how cool or cold the winter has been to us. Snook and tarpon are obviously another choice. Flounders, pompano. The list goes on and on and on. So, but on dry land, I mean, you'll have some raccoons running around. I'm sure some possums, some armadillos, some wild pigs live in that area. Some deer. So, I don't know how much of those we'll see, but they're definitely around. But we have options, brother. There's like probably 6 or 7 different launch places you can go to within a short truck ride of the Cars Park area. Cars Park as a whole is very large. So if you're a tent camper and you can't reserve a spot yet, but you're concerned that we're gonna run out of spots, there is no such thing as running out of spots. I mean, we can't possibly bring enough people there to fill the whole venue. So it's giant. And what's cool about that, though, is that everybody, for the most part, besides the folks that aren't going to sleep in an RV or camp in a tent, will be together. There's no big, giant dividing line like that main road that runs through Virginia Beach that we had between the cabins and the tent campers. So, you know, everybody should feel like a lot more like Chokoloski, where you're kind of surrounded by everybody all the time, whether or not you like that kind of thing or not. I mean, well, most people do, but there's pavilions there. There's a clubhouse there. I'm actually going out there tomorrow to take a bunch of pictures and kind of give people an idea of what we're working with there, because there's not much on the internet about it since it has been closed off to the public. And also, too, while it does seem kind of strange that they're not giving us actual spots, you know, for your reservation, like they're not saying, okay, you're going to be in tent spot B2 or whatever. The reasoning behind that is because Cars Park is a members-only park for camping. When I say that, there are people who are members of Cars Park, whether it be retired military, retired out of NASA, what have you. And it's not open to the public for camping ever. But they've made an exception for us coming in there. So the catch is the members get first right of refusal on their spots to come up to that weekend, which makes sense to me, whatever it is, what it is. And then the way that they usually work it is, okay, when whoever gets there, say Thursday morning first, will get their pick of wherever they want to call their little spot, and it kind of goes that way, kind of like, what's this term I'm looking for, I'm brain dead today.
First come, first serve.
Thank you, first come, first serve. So if there's any water spots left available, they want to say water spots, the spots that are literally right on the water, whoever gets there first will be able to snap those up. So I know Stan and Holly are planning on coming into town a couple days early, and they may be able to snap up one of those waterfront sites. But regardless, if you get a waterfront site or you don't get a waterfront site, it doesn't really make a difference. Everything is so close that, like I said before, it's six, one half dozen the other, so.
Right.
Well, that's that, brother. I mean, it's pretty cool. We got Mosquito Lagoon to the north, about 20-minute ride, 25-minute ride. Actually, yeah, probably about 25, 30-minute ride to the north. Obviously, we're going to be in the Banana River over on the other side of State Road 3. There's a launch place over there. You can go into the Indian River if you should so desire to do that. For you adventurous types, the Kevins and Choys and yourself and the Loggers or whoever, you can go out and fish Port Canaveral at night. You can go out there and fish it during the day, and maybe have a shot of catching a big giant snook or some other red stuff like that. And then offer to depending upon the water conditions, i.e. temperature, you may have a shot at some nice mangrove snappers, maybe some small grouper. You just never know. Port Canaveral's cool like that. It changes all
yeah.
the time.
But, that is awesome.
Yeah. And what you can definitely expect not to have to deal with is tide, because there's no tide whatsoever. We have a lock system right there at Port Canaveral. So there's no tide in the river. So there you go. That's that.
Awesome. Now, I was looking at the satellite pics of Cars Park, and yeah, like you said, man, it's really open, and you're right there on the water. Looks like they got, like, little docks, too, little piers right there at the waterfront spot. That flat looks so fishy, man. Like,
it
good
is.
Golly.
It is. And actually, some of the best big fish fishing is within a mile of your launch spot, so you don't have to go very far.
Right.
Like I said, I mean, you take a chunk of mullet the size of my fist and you throw a 6-toe circle hook in it and hurl it out there and let it do its thing and turn around and maybe wade away, walk away from your kayak a little bit and throw a topwater plug or something like that just half the time. And when that rod starts screaming, you better jump in that kayak and haul butt, because if you don't get them turned around and they decide they're just going to go towards the center of the lagoon, then you may or may not get pulled, depending upon your skill level in handling big fish on light tackle. My favorite way to catch those big fish in the wintertime is on light tackle. You can do it with your gear if you want to, just to whoop them. But I really enjoy having them basically bury me down to almost my backing and, just have a good time with them. The water's cool enough where the oxygen level in the water is high enough. You're not going to do the damage to the fish that you would if you've caught them, say, now on light tackle.
Right.
So, but it'll be good, man. I'm going to be fishing Cars quite a bit between now and the Boondoggle, and I'll post up pictures of some of these slobs that are out there. Captain Alex Goretsky. Gee, I could never pronounce his last name right, but my buddy Alex, he is the no motor zone master. There's nobody that I know of that fishes that area any better than he does, and that guy's constantly pulling giant fish out of the water. In fact, if you would go to Facebook and look him up and go through his pictures, he's got a picture, I think, of a 49 and a couple of, like, 52, 53, 54-inch fish. So, yeah. I mean, there's some studs here. I mean, you guys definitely have big fish there, too. And, I'm not taking anything away from that. But the difference is, most of the time, it seems you guys have to battle some pretty severe conditions and or challenges like bridge fishing to get into those big fish, where we are fortunate enough to have them swim basically up to a foot and a half, 2 foot of water at times, and just run across a bunch of grass. So, you know, there's nothing really to break you off. There's no need to go stupid with like 60-pound this or 40-pound that or whatever. I mean, my biggest redfish I ever caught out of a kayak, I didn't catch there. I caught in the lagoon, but it was 52 inches, and I caught him on 10-pound braid and 12-pound monofilament. So,
oh, man. Now, you know what this problem's going to be? Is I'm not going to be able to sleep because I'm going to be thinking about, you know, giant redfish in a foot and a half of water towing me around. Oh,
well, what's awesome about Cars Park 2 is, and Alex said it earlier on one of the pages, I don't know if it was on the Space Coast Kayak Angler page or what page it was, but he's already got his spot picked out. He's a member out there at Cars, so he can reserve an actual spot. So he's going to have a rod at night. He'll be chucking baits off the dock at night for Big Ray. So, I mean, it's definitely a possibility, much like Tokoloski, where you guys were down there throwing baits at night and hoping for sharks or whatever. The flip side of that will be you could chuck baits up there at night and hope for big giant redfish. So it could happen.
Cool.
And then the big uglies are there, like I say. I would love to see a handful of guys hook up simultaneously as one of these big giant schools of fish come through and everybody get toted off in different directions on sleigh rides. That would be really cool. But, it's going to be a good time, man. I'm hoping to be able to pull off some of the things I'm going to try and accomplish between now and then to make this, without a doubt, the best boondoggle that's ever happened. Just because, I got to represent, man. It's in my backyard. I can't be, like, clowned out, you know? I mean, whatever. It'll be fun, man. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm just saying that. We'll all have a very good time.
Cool, man. I know everyone here is super excited about it, and look at the Facebook page. We already have 56 people already RSVP for it, And I talked to you
been a week.
I know, man. And I talked to Christina tonight. Folks, if you don't know, Christina is our point of contact at Cars Park for making reservations or set make sure we have a spot. Please thank her. This is something they do not do. Ever for outsiders, and they're opening up their this place for us, and can't thank them enough. And she's like, what are you guys doing? I mean, I've already got like 40 reservations, or people was planning on showing up here. It's this is what we do, and so she's they're happy and we're happy, and I just cannot wait for it to come around.
I'm gonna throw out a call to everybody who listens to the show and to my show and the Lozier show and the Chip show. I'm going to do it on yakangler.com too. If you're coming down to the boondoggle and you're a sponsored fisherman, you have sponsors, all right, I would greatly appreciate it if you were to send me a list of the sponsors that you have, whether it be on Facebook or through email, and let me know if you think you can hit them up for some raffle prizes. Because while traditionally the raffles have been, people have tried to keep them short and sweet, just so that we can get through them and get on to the next thing, I was pretty proud of what we were able to accomplish in Virginia Beach with the raffle up there. The Lozier's put together, and I helped out a little with some stuff from down here, but... and other people donated too. Chad Hoover got crazy with all his gift cards and all that stuff, and Woody, I think, donated a bunch of stuff from Native. But he raised over $1,000 for Heroes on the Water, and that's pretty awesome. I want to beat that. I really, really want to beat that. I want to beat it bad. And I think that with the crowd that we should see at this boondoggle, we shouldn't have a problem doing that at all.
Right.
I think I've got unconfirmed reports from half of the clubs that I've talked to where most of their members are going to try and show up here in Florida. So that's the Irish Water Dogs. That's the guys from down south, the crazy bastards that go off the beach down south. That's the hardcore guys over in Tampa, Steve Gibson over there, some Shallow Pockets, a bunch of his buddies, the Orlando Kayak Fishing Club, obviously my group, Space Coast Kayak Anglers, are going to represent. In fact, it's getting kind of funny. Guys are like, hey, should we bring our giant smokers that we have trailers for and stuff? I'm like, yep. So we're going to definitely do the traditional boondoggle deal where Saturday night we'll have a dinner one way or another. I'm still working that out. And then we'll do our raffle. I think we may even extend out the raffle till Sunday night, too. We may do like half the raffle Saturday, half the raffle Sunday, depending upon how much stuff we get.
Right.
So not to draw it out and keep it going, whatever, but give us something else to do Sunday night as well. And I don't know, man, maybe we'll do some kind of fun little tournament like we did up there, the mini rod deal, but it would be fun to see somebody try and catch a 50-inch redfish on a mini rod.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, oh yeah. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the works for this one, brother. Let me just tell you that. Like, I dove in head first in the shallow end of the pool, smacked my head, and now I'm just being retarded because I've sent out emails and voicemails and phone calls and, dude, texts and calling all favors in and trying to make this thing just absolutely legit. So, we're going to try and get vendors for the first time to come out and actually set up at Cars with different stuff. So, like, I reached out to Elusive Tales because they've always helped us out with our raffle stuff. Folks from Elusive Tales, if you're not sure what Elusive Tales is, a clothing company, local clothing company that's done out of Orlando, and really good friends of mine, Marcella and her brother AJ own it, and they're going to come out and set up a little table and have their stuff out there just to kind of show it off. No pressure. No one has to buy anything. It's just, you know, if you decide you want to, that's cool. And then I think Captain Mike Ortego from Tackle Webs will be out there, and a bunch of others I've already reached out to, but there's a lot more to come. So we're hoping to get a representative from every kayak manufacturer that's pertinent to what we do to come out with boats and stuff like that, so everybody can kind of try out different boats, whether it be
right.
OP or Native or will be. Well, we already know Woody's coming. Native, at least that's what he said. So, but Jackson and Ocean and whoever else. So, well, yeah, whatever. And if you have any suggestions, man, or anybody has any suggestions of things they'd like to see there, or things that they'd like for us to try and be able to pull off, or whatever, feel free. I'm not shy. I'll send messages and text and call and go meet people and try and do the thing. So, but lastly, I'm still working a deal with a couple of local hotels, trying to button that down without giving them a solid number of rooms that are going to be rented. They're having a hard time giving me a really, really good deal, but everybody's been pretty open to the idea. So as we get closer, I mean, we're pretty far out now, but as we get closer, not even that far out, it's like 120 days, but we'll get a better, you know, definite number of how many people need to stay in a hotel versus staying in a tent or in a camper. And, you know, I'll make those calls and those final preparation deals then. But for all of your information, I'm going to relay it all to Mark and Adam from Yak Angler and Chip. So you hear most of the most up-to-date information on the shows and through Yak Angler and then also, too, on Facebook. You know, I'll try and do my best to keep everybody up to date of what's going on between now and then. So, or between now and say December, I want everything to be buttoned down. There'll be nothing left to do by January 15th. I want a solid month to just be able to chill, enjoy my family, enjoy everything else, and just have everything set in stone, ready to ride. The motorcycle.
Well, I know when Steve Chapman, who was in the chat room earlier, that I threw out the idea of maybe Fish and Florida Radio doing a live show at Cars Park. And
yeah,
it sounds like he is more than down to doing it.
Yeah,
so that could be, that would just be Rock and Sock and Robots awesome. So
yeah, that could be cool, man. I love all those guys, man. Those guys are like my brothers, man. I mean, Mike Ortego, Steve Chapman, even the freak that is Boudreaux. Those guys are awesome. But
right.
Yeah, it should be good, man. It should be a good time. How about all? I mean, the fishing should be pretty stellar, to be honest with you. If you're not accustomed to fishing shallow water, sight fishing for reds, the big trout, and that kind of thing, feel free to familiarize yourself with the tactics that are used to target those fish, whether it be by listening to my show or just, you know, get on Yak Angler, ask questions, get on Facebook and ask to join Space Coast Kayak Anglers and ask questions. You know, feel free, email me, redfishchuck@hotmail.com, and, you know, whatever, we'll get you guys dialed in. It is definitely a different fishery than what you guys have up there, for sure, so you definitely want to be prepared when you get here and know exactly what to do, so.
Right. Well, before I get asked to do this, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway.
Boondoggle! Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up, come find out, February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There we go. I got to shake my head every time I hear that one. Thank you again, Steve Chapman, for another excellent soundbite. All right. So we talked enough about the boondoggle and the one coming up, and which we'll talk about more in depth as it gets closer. Let's get to what's going on right now. Trout fishing. Speckled trout, specks, sea trout, whatever you call it, are on the rise here in Virginia Beach. And if you're out there and you're a speck fisherman, you know this is the time of the year to get out there and get some biggins. So, with that being said, baits for really big trout right now. You know, the usual paddle tails, DOA, Slayer. And speaking of Slayer, one of my favorite trout baits that I picked up, actually, at Chokoloski, was the dart or the stick bait kind of thing. Excellent bait for trout when you're working it on the bottom or mid-level or anything like that. Excellent bait. Slayer just came out with one. Let me just say this. It is one bad little bait. So definitely check that out. Mirror lures. If you don't throw a mirror lure for trout, there's something wrong with you. Favorite colors? There isn't really one. Buy a bunch. I know Mr. Lozier, who's a or Mark, who's a staffer with mirror lure, is probably smiling right now. Stock up a bunch, and you know, have fun with it. So the trout bite is starting to really pick up. Live bait, popping corks, you name it. It's going to be rocking and rolling. Sorry, reading the chat room. Tonight's when someone else talks, I can read the chat room and kind of participate a little bit here and there if I can. But the big thing on everyone's mind right now are the stripers. I know GJ Mack, you know, I'm speaking his language in the northeast tone. Gotta go get the stripers. HRBT still hasn't really kicked off yet. They're there, but they haven't kicked off. You're looking at a lot of blues and weak fish, or gray trout, as we call them down here. Don't get discouraged. The stripers are there. You just got to, you know, work at it a little bit. Got to get through the blues. Got to get through the weak fish. Once you get through them, you're pretty much in striper heaven, pulling them out. I'm so excited about striper fishing. I'm going to throw some northeast stuff out this year. King Rat's in the house. King Rat, have you seen? I know he's an HRBT freak. He caught six last night. Thought I saw you out there getting rocked by the with the HRBT. He's saying that they're working with the Grays. Well, that's excellent. That means that things are falling right into place. So should be what in the next week? I think everyone can agree. You know that by another week, the Strappers should finally move in because they're at the James River Bridge and the Monitor Merrimack right now. So it should be interesting. So we went through everything. It's getting cooler. Pull out your waders. Get your gear ready. Light tackle fun. On next week's show, we will hopefully have Chris Cincy of Slayer Inc. on, with any luck. If not, then same old, same old. We'll go through some tips and tactics and some news. So it should be a really good time. I'd like to thank everyone that showed up in the chat room. Melita, fellow Jackson Pro staffer down in Jacksonville, Florida. What's going on? Yak Rupi in the chat room and everyone else that showed up. I can't thank you enough. Chuck, you're my boy, Blue. Thanks for calling in. Same with Rob DeVore. Mr. Chip Gibson. Check him out tomorrow night. He's going to do another show, roundtable discussion on the Boondoggle and what's coming up next for Kayak Fishing Radio. Hopefully we'll have some fun with that. Yes, you are famous. But yeah, it should be a great time. In what, 128 days, or depending on how early you're leaving. I'm thinking about leaving tomorrow. My wife's looking at me weird now. But yeah, Arlie, you have my number, give me a call. We'll go get some stripers. Same thing with you, King Rat. But with that, I'd like to thank everyone for showing up this past weekend and making another great Boondoggle happen. I'd like to thank everyone.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
That's right. Go to yakangler.com for more info. I think today is the last day of the... what's it called? I just brain farted. I think today's the last day of the Kayak Choice Awards. Chip, oh, he already left. So check that out. Check out the Boondoggle page, yakangler.com/boondoggle. And yeah, I think everyone that showed up, like again, at the Boondoggle. Couldn't have done it without y'all. It was a great time. Vote. Have fun with it. I'd like to thank Slayer Inc. for donating all those prizes. I'd like to thank Jackson Kayak and everyone else that supports me and supporting Kayak Fishing Radio. So, with that being said, I will say goodnight. I haven't done this all night. We're going to do a little... That's right. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight again. Always wear your PFD, take a kid fishing, and have fun, folks. Night, everybody.